Mr. Smith, quickly, I want that door open now. Stand over there.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Did you see it? What is it?
We got it. Oh,
what is it?
Will there be any more of them?
Sir, what you had there was what we refer to as a focused, non-terminal repeating phantasm, or a class 5 full roaming vapor. Real nasty one, too.
Now, let's talk seriously. Now, for the entrapment, we're going to have to ask you for 4 big ones, $4,000 for that. But we are having a special this week on proton charging and storage of the beast, and that's only going to come to $1,000, fortunately.
$5,000? I had no idea it'd be so much. I won't pay it.
Well, that's all right. We can just put it right back in there. Thank you.
Oh, we certainly can, Dr. Venkman.
No! All right. Anything.
Thanks so much. Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'm turning inside out. I'm floating around in ecstasy. So don't stop me now.
Do 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 do, lightning with my hands, lightning with my hands, lightning with my hands.
You feel better?
Yes.
Cool. Let's start this podcast.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas! I apologize, listeners. Mm-hmm. I was reprimanded a while ago for... not a very good introduction of myself. So, this is what you get.
Mm-hmm. Apologies, listeners. Douglas has now been fired from the podcast. And replaced with a llama.
A winner.
Llama?
Winner.
Yes, a llama.
No, I'm trying to figure out what a llama says. It must be llama.
No, it really whips the llama. So.
It isn't. Douglas, it isn't a Pokemon.
What's happening? What's happening with this podcast? Can we start this again?
And welcome to the Unnamed Podcast.
Did you just... Wait, stop. Did you just... a llama goes bah? Jesus Christ. What does a llama say? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Definitely not bad. Llama goes bad. Might as well go. The llama goes cluck cluck and move on with it.
Oh, anyways.
My. Yes.
Moving far, far away.
Swiftly ahead.
We're here to discuss, as we are all the time, more coloring book activities.
Right.
As it seems we've decided in a weird set of events to make April our comic book month.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure we all know what we're talking about next week, right?
No. Sense and Sensibility is what I want to talk about next week.
No, absolutely not. That's a wrong movie. We agreed on Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, my apologies.
So this week, we're here discussing the 2019 film Shazam, directed by David F. Sandberg.
And starring Shaquille O'Neal!
Do you feel better?
Yeah, I actually do. I forgot that happened. I really did.
This movie, however, sadly stars Zachary Levi and Mark Strong in a story of a young 15-year-old boy who is given superpowers by a wizard whenever he yells the word Shazam.
Give us free.
That's crazy, right?
What are your superpowers?
Superpowers, dude? I don't even know how to pee in this thing.
This is proof of authenticity. Super strength. Electricity manipulation.
I'd like to purchase some of your finest beer, please.
Ah!
the movie, yep. and he now gets to prance around the town as a grown-ass superhero. Damien.
Hi.
I'm pretty sure as a child, one of your many nightmares was not to be a superhero, was not to be Superman incarnate.
Never liked Superman.
Right? However, we have learned throughout the years of watching movies that one of the biggest wishes of most children is to be a grown-ass adult. Luckily, in 1980s, Tom Hanks taught us that that's really a nightmare.
Yep. No one wants to be big.
However, is this time a good one?
Shazam is awesome. Andrew said it was fun, but he really undersold it. I don't know if that was on purpose, because he was afraid we'd come here and laugh at him. But it is really good to see that DC finally understands that if Chris Nolan doesn't have anything to do with your movie, there you can't. Don't go dark. Go the opposite way. Try and have some fun with your movie, because Chris Nolan isn't doing anything for you guys comic book related ever again. And this movie, it is a... What I will say is, for a children's movie, this has one of the darkest openings I've seen in a movie in a long time. A young boy is being ridiculed by his father and his older brother, is teleported to a magician, told by that wizard. Magician, you are wizard. Not worthy. Who cares? Told by him, you're not at all a baller. Sent back to the real world, where he's immediately in multiple car crashes. And it wasn't clear that the father made it at the start of this movie. I thought everyone, the father, super didn't make it. And that movie started, I was just like, what is this movie rated? Because children
where
should be seen.
Where did Andrew say fun?
Children should not be seeing this. The movie really, because it could have gone real dark, and then the movie just immediately pivoted. You got to meet the protagonist of the movie. Don't remember his name. Not important. He is trying to find his mother. He's crossed 71 people off his list. Con some police officers to take to get inside the car and steals his lunch.
To be fair, it's his fault, because he didn't immediately ask Evan Huang to get the job done.
I mean, he didn't.
Yeah.
Which he should have.
He should have.
I've seen enough TV to know that.
Yes.
This is what he should have done.
Yes.
He tries to track down his mother, which the jokes keep coming. The black lady comes out and she's just like, pretty sure. I'm pretty sure you're not my son. He is immediately adopted by the world's two greatest foster parents. They're like magic people. They're so happy and nice. They're just like,
makes sense. I mean, to be fair, one of them did survive the zombie apocalypse.
I mean, that is true.
Yeah.
That is the only part of the movie where you're just like, you guys are trying too hard. Like, nobody's parents are this good. It is no family is this awesome. I like his roommate.
Yes.
He is tremendous throughout the entire movie.
He's good.
And that is how the movie starts. And it went from super dark to super light. And you're just like, all right, I think this movie knows where it's going. And then the movie really kicks off in earnest when Mark Strong does Mark Strong. Like, he's so good. You can see him. I just want a clip of him actually biting some of the scenery. He's so good. He's enjoying himself to no end. He's so glad to be the bad guy.
He really always is a good bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, even so, recently I rewatched Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Which, obviously, first, I think we why? All... Hold on. I think we all loved Sherlock Holmes when it came out.
Right.
And then afterwards, I kind of... My love waned for that movie. But for some reason, I think it may have showed up on Netflix. And mm-hmm. I said, let me try watching this. And I now re-enjoy that movie. And one big reason is Mark Strong. Oh, Damien, he is...
Mine's a delight. So good.
He's like John Travolta, but good? Actually good, like yeah. always good. Mm-hmm. Like John Travolta is good as a villain when he gets his kind of
everything lines right? up. Yeah. Yeah.
But Mark Strong is just like, I'm always good. He's oh, just, you want me to also be a villain? I'll do that.
I'm going to double down. Yeah. And so fun. Then he gets the power of Shazam. And he immediately does what 15-year-old boys would do with that kind of power. He's just like, I want to see how beer tastes. I want to test all these stupid powers. I'm going to use this to get money. And he's bad at all of the things. And then, you know, there's the good guy, bad guy. Because, of course, they have to meet.
So what you're saying is he tried to get money, power, respect.
Yeah. He listened to a Jay-Z album and lost his mind. I'm sorry, it's 2019. He listened to a Drake album. My apologies.
No, he did not listen to a Drake album because, as we all know, Drake is cursed.
Okay.
So he probably listened to like a Lil Yachty album.
Oh, Tekashi 6ix9ine. Lil Pump. Anyways. God, rap music is back. They were for us. Mark Strong shows up and he's just like, still tremendous. And he wants to, you know, he wants all the power. He was rejected as a child by Shazam.
Rejected.
And so he wants to prove that he is worthy. And the movie takes off and it's a typical comic book movie. But the movie is fun. It emphasizes on fun for the most part. There are only two really dark bits. There's him meeting his mother, which is, it is painful. that is for a movie that was trying to be so fun. There's a real turn when he meets his mother, and it kind of mirrors.
I'm disappointed in this, Damien, but we'll talk about that soon.
And it kind of mirrors the start of Douglas. I know what you're going to say, but here's the thing: we're terrible people. No, us enjoying it doesn't make it a good part of the movie. I know where you're going, but that's for us. but the movie. The end is, it's strong because it's so much fun. Like, at no point did they turn down. This movie it feels like a Guardians of the Galaxy type movie where they're just like, we're here to have fun. This story is the story. But that's not really why we're here. It is arms out and watching people play with their powers. And that is what this movie gave you. And it's 2019, and this shouldn't be surprising, but the movie looks great. Like, you shouldn't have to say that. Like, last year Avengers came out, and most of that movie, Siege. I don't even think there's...
Are you sure? Because it wasn't as bad as my experience with the other movie we talked about the other day, but it still wasn't a great viewing experience.
I mean, listen. Us going to care would always lead. Andrew can just cut and paste any conversation we ever have about care. But at some point, we have to review around care. Because we can't keep doing this. Care sucks. Just in case you live in Jamaica or you're curious if Jamaica's movie going experience has become any better, it hasn't. But this movie. It was a good time. Those ending credits also fun. Like, they just kept it up the entire time. And the post-credit scene with the Man of Steel.
Yes.
Tremendous.
That was, oh.
It would have only been better if Shaq was actually there.
Damian, if I didn't like the movie at that point, I mean, that would just...
The movie's fantastic. It's a fantastic movie. It's so dumb, but it knows, and it is a romp.
And that's the great thing about this movie, that it knows what it is. It knows that it's dumb, it knows that it's fun, and it just leans in. So, I obviously enjoyed this movie. This movie's great. It's a fun, shitty comic book movie, fine, right? And I don't have much else to say outside of that, because really, that is what this is. It's hard. You have found... I don't know how you found so much to talk about.
it's a gift. I've been doing this for a while.
There you go. But I will say this. I am really happy to see Zachary Levi come back in something. Because... And now, the thing about him is that good is not exactly a word I'd use. Right?
You're not allowed to talk about Chuck now.
Oh, shut up. You know I'm going to. But what he is perfect for movies like this. Movies where what you need somebody to do is to chew the scenery, enjoy themselves, or at least make you enjoy what is happening around their character, and just move the story along. Not necessarily through skill, an auteur skill, but just... because A is moving on to B. And it's fun, right? And that's, you really haven't seen him in anything huge, I don't think, since Chuck. The only thing I can recall him being in, you didn't even see him in, which is Tangled. He was the prince in Tangled. But he's a fun guy to sit down and watch when you know that your brain is not about to be challenged, right? So... I'm happy for him. He's in a movie that will probably have multiple sequels. So, great, right? And he really does his job well. As I said, Mark Strong, Damian, the best part of this movie.
Yep.
And I'm sad that he cannot be in the second one, right? Because he can't.
I mean, the worm is talking to him.
That's at the true. End. Yeah, I forgot about it. All right.
So, you could.
Mark, just... make sure you got
good for me.
Contract negotiations going on, eh? But this movie, it's cool. The other thing, what did I want to say? Oh, I was kind of upset with this movie, though. And it had nothing to do with what actually happened. It was because I still follow certain people on Twitter, unfortunately, who write things about movies.
Mm-hmm.
And
you should stop
that. Yeah, I really should. And they had an article that said something to the... So I don't actually read the articles.
I mean, why would you?
Yeah, exactly. But the headline was...
Reading is for people who have degrees, there right? You and go. You don't have those.
And time. Nope. You have neither one.
Or Fox, right?
Yeah. Especially if you don't have another.
Yeah. But the headline said something to the extent of... the third act is surprising, extremely surprising, and the movie triumphs both despite and because of some rubbish,
right,
which
words.
Essentially, mm-hmm. right? So I thought something revelatory was mm-hmm. going to happen right. in the last half of the movie. And then he met his mother, and I realized... mm-hmm. that what this person was doing was he was adding import to the fact that
his mother is garbage.
His mother is garbage. Right? And I was so upset.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that's just
yeah
a thing that was obviously going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
It's like, he shouldn't do this. Because if his mother... like the lady...
I mean,
it was foreshadowed. The lady said... if your mother wanted to find
you, right?
She'd have found you.
Which world are we living in? I know this is a cartoon world. But even in cartoon worlds, mothers who want to find you in an enclosed area where a policeman has gotten to you.
The only thing I'd have accepted was that he was 3 and got his last name wrong. I was just like, maybe he just got his last name wrong. No. And that's why he couldn't find
Not even that. The only thing that is acceptable
is what actually happened. Is,
no, not what actually happened. If we're going into an alternative universe here, mm-hmm. right? The only acceptable outcome is that she, while he was missing, was drugged, mm-hmm. kidnapped, and held in a room for, how long was this, 15 years?
Right.
And
she was taken.
Exactly. And now that she's escaped.
She was old boyed?
Yes, she was old boyed. And now she's finally escaped, she's looking for her son. That's the only way that there is a possibility that she did not just fuck off.
In her version of the movie, Neeson's didn't get her. She stayed token.
Yeah. But listen, this movie, it's a fun romp. Yeah. It requires no brain power. At the one all. Thing that I will say is that...
Now I know why Douglas loves this movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. Well, love is a strong word. But yeah, it's good. I don't know that... So, for example, the Marvel stuff, I really love and will continue to watch. I will probably buy and watch on Netflix, watch on my computer, whatever. This, I'm not sure that I feel the need to watch that.
You will, though.
I might.
Because you'll see Mark Strong again.
I don't know. Maybe.
You'll see Mark Strong
again. I don't know.
My only complaint with all of Douglas's comments... Mm-hmm. Is that when he was talking about Zachary Levi having a career, he never mentioned Zachary Levi's greatest role in all of cinema. That is him as Fandral the Fancy, Fandral the Dashing from Thor 2 and Thor 3.
Sorry, what?
So you remember in the Thor movies?
I did not actually know he was in those movies.
You remember in the Thor movies?
And I know, there's a guy, from you said the name, it must be the guy that fences, right?
Yeah, that is Zachary Levi. And he has
like a mustache or something like that.
Not in the first one, they switched him out. So he's in part 2 and 3, he's not in the first one.
That's why. So he's not in the last two movies because he only has lines in the first one. And in the second and third one, he's just background noise. Mm-hmm. No yeah. wonder. I don't know that.
I was immediately murdered.
when Hela appears, immediately murdered.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah.
Please tell me I just like
that
he's
I just like that his character name is Fandral the Dashing.
Boy, comic books. So good. He was in
but
Psych, a couple episodes of Psych. You know that great timeless TV show. From
actually,
USA.
I've watched a few episodes.
Stop talking to me. This is not funny anymore if you're going to talk about that show like it's a real show.
It's stupid.
Fucking trash.
Zero brain power.
Absolute garbage.
But yeah, Shazam.
Shazam!
No, you have to say it with a little bit more oomph.
Shazam!
Yeah, you have to say it like Shaq.
You have to say it like a man, not like a woman. Go get him, Batman.
Oh, watching him. Oh my god. Sure
I loved all of the dumb DC references. I loved even more so watching that scene again where he throws the Batman.
Yep.
If you look in that store, like it's just only DC stuff in there.
Yeah, so.
Right? Or you're like, oh, they knew what they were doing. Who knew? Production people can know how to set
also,
up a set.
Also, that whole thing about the bullet that was shot at Superman, beautiful.
You know the weirdest part about it? And maybe it's because, and I mean, obviously, like, the post-credit scene kind of answers that question anyways. Mm-hmm. Because this was so far removed, I never assumed this had anything to do with the actual Superman movies we've seen. So when the child showed him, like, the Superman bullet, as like, oh, he bought, like, some dumb
fake
thing.
Yeah.
But that's probably like, I mean, it's probably fake anyways. But, you know, like so theoretically, good. Given that Superman is there, it could have been a thing. And that kind of made it weird.
No, of course.
Like
and
90 minutes
you
later,
were...
you're like,
yeah. Yeah, and you saw that there were newspaper articles about Batman in Gotham City.
Yeah, so. But I just assumed that was all just made up shit. Like, though, I assumed that this movie was separate and apart from Superman and Batman, right?
Yeah, but Marvel
I forgot.
Made it, yeah, Marvel made it so that they can never do that again.
I could talk about like all of the history of Shazam's comic book life that you guys don't care about, because I found it weirdly funny, but moving right along. Shazam, the movie, is, as you guys have put it so succinctly, fun. When you have a 15-year-old boy grow up into a man with lightning powers, and he spends the first half an hour pretty much just being an asshole, it's amazing.
That's what, like, I would do.
Nothing made me happier than when eventually he had to do something because he made a mistake and the bus was falling over, and you see him put down the mattress and point to it, and everybody else is just like, oh, we're fucked.
Oh, he's an idiot. Our superhero's an idiot.
And then when you see the that even continue, and he's like telling the dog to shoo, so that he can put down the bus. When, like, in any Superman movie, you would have seen the confidence and, like, the the poise where he would have just, like, done it better or whatever. Like, this movie felt... It just felt like a joy to sit through. And it's truly all because of the actors. Between Zachary Levi doing the best at being this just unknowing superhero, and Mark Strong, as you say, basically digesting scenery from minute to minute. I mean, a lot of the CGI looks like it could have come out of a movie 10 years ago, especially with the monsters, the gargoyles, the sins. Like, when you see those things out, like, it could have just like, that could have come out of
a movie. I thought they did that deliberately.
It's possible, but still, it felt weird.
Oh, right? Yeah, I guess.
Especially with how sleek, like, all of the Shazam-related things looked. Like, they still looked cartoony, but they didn't look like that. But I guess they're not full-blown characters. So
yeah,
who knows?
I thought they did that on purpose. Like, I took it as, this is still a children's movie, so we can't have the monsters scare the shit out of the children. Like, if you're going to have something like that, like with a giant mouth for a belly, if you make it too real, children are going to go home with nightmares.
That's what you want.
No, that's not what you want. You want your children to go home and want to be Shazam, not need therapy for the rest of their lives. Every time they walk past a statue, they have to do a double take. You don't want that. I've seen these movies. I know what happened.
But what I want to talk about is I want to talk about the end of this movie. Yes. And not necessarily the mother is a bad person end, but the end as in the finale fight.
Yes.
Because I feel like that is the thing that really got me with this movie. So for those of you who care and haven't watched Shazam yet, cover your ears for like the next 5 minutes or so.
Haven't we given away the whole movie already?
Oh, Shazam wins in end.
When he makes his whole family into Shazams.
Yep.
Right?
It's Shazai.
Sorry. Shazai. Right? I couldn't love this movie more.
Adrian Brody's back.
Because
Adam Brody. Who is the... There's a Brody that was in the OC. That is the show that I could not remember. Because my sisters watch a lot of that show. And he was like the dreamboat in the show. So I've marked that fool for his entire life. And he, the crippled boy, turned into him. And so it was fun watching him go around the show.
And what was her name?
His name is Adam Brody.
Darla became the one person that I recognized outside of Zachary Levi. Yeah. But I don't know her name. I just know her from shitty, you know, movies.
That's her name? Megan
Good. Yep, Megan Good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, didn't even recognize her.
I remember her because she is very pretty.
Well, I mean, again, she's on television.
She was in The Love Guru. So, you know.
Oh, really?
No, no.
I don't know if I watched... I didn't watch that movie. I remember everybody was...
Hey, take it from me.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I've lasted this long.
Yeah. there'll come a point where you'll be like, is it any day that comes, just call me and I will remind you not to do this.
All right, cool.
So yeah, like, I adore this because number one, this truly felt to me like a sequel move, right? This like, usually how these movies all work is you have like the origin story play out for movie one, and it's about him overcoming whatever to kind of build up. And then movie two, they can introduce all the other sides that you love. This felt like that. This felt like the movie two. And I'm not sure, because we've said it from time to time with some of these movies where they're taking quote-unquote risks, where they're not sure what is going to be like a true bona fide hit versus, you know, just an okay movie. Where the writers were like, look, we don't know if we're going to get a number two. Throw this in now so that we can say we did it. Mm-hmm. But there's something to that scene when you see all of them just kind of superfy that I really loved how it all played out. Like, it felt warm to me and I loved it, right? I mean, most of this movie kind of teeters from being borderline mean and awful and depressing to these whimsical moments from when Zachary Levi is just learning his powers and doing his shenanigans to eventually having to deal with an actual supervillain, to the end of this movie where you see that he tries to kind of move in a manner where he's trying to be that hero, but at the same time he doesn't really want to be one. Then he brings in his whole family and it feels like a fun affair, right? They don't, obviously, because they only have like 5-10 minutes in this whole scene, they don't flesh out all of these people because it feels like they're just kind of throwing them around to kind of deal with the non-known, the unknown bad sidekicks, the golems or whatever we want to call them, the sins. But I just kind of enjoy that moment of them just waking up and being themselves. And I like that in this movie. But yeah, that's what I wanted.
Someone said Hadouken.
Yes, that was collapsed. That was great.
He also said fatality.
Yep. Oh, I didn't hear that one.
Oh yeah, it's real dumb.
Yeah, but no, that I agree with you, Andrew. That part, I suppose somebody could argue that it was what you said. You know, cramming in stuff just in case there wasn't a second one. But I thought it worked for me more as a setup for the second one to say that, guys, listen. It's this, for lack of a better phrase, it's a family affair. Mm. so, yep, Damon is listening to the song that is going through his imaginary head, yep. As am I. But it sets up the fact that there is more to come. There's going to be team play, and it cements him in this situation at home, which I think is a great situation. I think that they're going to be able to just get a lot of comedy gold out of that family. So I'm glad for that.
Shazam is fun.
Shazam!
I think we rate it fun out of 5. That's what we call it.
Yes, we do.
Heavy on the fun.
So guys, I think we have other things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
No, sports? Lots of sports.
Okay.
But, so, there are a few movies, a few things that I've watched over this week.
Are we, is this smack dab in coloring books?
All right, let's start with the coloring book.
All right.
Coloring book theater. It's actually, I don't have any notes. There's not much to say other than I'm surprised with how much I've been able to watch. Just because, again, when somebody has 0 fucks or 0 brain molecules, brain power to apply to anything, something that requires no brain power, it's very helpful. It's very good. So I'm literally, I only have one movie left. I now just have Ant-Man and the Wasp to watch. And the thing about it just goes to show the increase in quality, how they've gotten better over time, that the first few movies, I had notes for days on all of them. Just, you know, jokes and how... I would essentially laugh at how bad they were. Now, I'm just laughing with the movies because they're great. And they know how to set them up. So I'm just happy that I'm actually probably going to be able to watch all of the Marvel movies before I go to Avengers on Friday or Saturday or whenever the hell I go. So there is that, right? So we can not talk about the coloring book theater anymore.
No.
No.
We're in the end game now.
I'm going to start with movies because you guys should know that if my man Terry G makes a film and he makes it available for me, it's going to be watched immediately. I actually didn't realize. I know that he's been out touting it and that it would eventually come out somewhere. I didn't realize it's actually in theaters now. I'm sure it's in about 5 theaters.
But yeah, it's very it's very slim. Like, apparently I had a chance to go and watch it for one night only, and I just kind of didn't realize it, and I didn't see it.
Well, if you want to watch it, it's on Google Play. I rented it. And
oh, really?
Yeah. We're talking about The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. And guys, no shit, I love this movie.
What? wait.
Yeah.
This is from the same podcast that invented the Guillermometer?
Yup.
You're telling me that the people on that podcast
uh-huh.
like a Terry Gilliam.
I know, it's hard to take.
It's ridiculous.
But I give this 5 out of 5 G's. actually, it's not perfect, but I like this movie. It's very fun. It's very stupid. It is, so I know that Damien, you in particular, I don't think you're fully down on the Gilliam
I've tried to match your energy with TG, but he's done me wrong a couple of times.
No, he has. I mean, Zero Theorem was horrible. Ooh. And I'm still up in the air because I did not like Parnassus, but I feel like I had to be wrong. There's no way.
It's not very good. I know. He also gave us The Brothers Grimm.
Oh, I like that movie.
Except you're wrong.
Again, no brain power required.
I still haven't watched Zero Theorem.
Don't.
Please. You can move past that one.
Save yourself, Andrew.
Yeah.
If you want to continue to like this man, don't do it. Because it's really bad. It's not even like, oh, it's a bad movie. It's a travesty. It's a fucking war crime.
People keep telling me that 12 Monkeys is better than it is.
I love 12 Monkeys.
Here's the thing, I watch that movie.
But anyway, so I was trying to preface the fact that how I'm going to describe this may not sound good to you.
Right.
And I'm not, I cannot recommend to you anything by
is it Fear and Loathing?
It's not.
Is it Brazil?
Okay, here's what I would say, right? It is kind of a mixture. It doesn't go as crazy, but is in the same vein of Baron Munchausen.
Okay.
Right? And it has some. All right, I won't even go into any further. It really is. It's kind of like a watered down Baron Munchausen. And because the thing about Munchausen is that you can kind of take it from two perspectives, right? That movie is so over stylized and so almost. It's almost The Fall. Right?
Right.
Where
it is almost Pete Gilliam.
Yeah. Not only is it almost Pete Gilliam, but it is this story about an adventure through a child's eye, right? And you can take two versions of that story, and because of how crazy Gilliam is, both of them work. You can either decide that all of that happened, right? And it's magic, and then from time to time, they would come out of magic world into real world. Right, that is actually a movie that exists. And then you could take the Fall version of events where something happened and the child made it into this big thing. And because every once in a while you come into the real world and you see these people that are essentially the people in the magic, you're like, okay, something happened with these people, but it didn't really happen like that.
Right?
So you could actually take both sides of that argument, and nobody would win, right? Because it's just Gilliam is so good at being ridiculous and just being extremely visual and just charting crazy, recording crazy. He does not go to that extreme here, but it's a similar situation where essentially, and the story of Don Quixote allows you to do this, right? Because Don Quixote is essentially a crazy old man that thinks something is happening that is not happening, right? And that is played out here in the fullest. And I love how they do this thing where, so they have Kylo Ren in the movie.
Of course.
They also have another Terry G alum. Is it Oliver? I can never remember his name. But he's in a number of movies. The most prominent one probably being Brazil, where he's the lead in Brazil. He's the guy.
Oh, okay, okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oliver something, I think. Can't remember. Sorry. So he is Don Quixote. Or rather, and this is what I love about this movie. It's just, it's stupid. Kylo Ren, a long time ago, 10 years ago, made a movie about Don Quixote. He found a cobbler on the side of the road that he decided that cobbler's face would make a great face for Don Quixote. And he convinced, he didn't mean to, right? But essentially, in order to get the guy to actually act right, he convinced him that he was Don Quixote. He didn't realize he was doing this, right, but he did it. Cut to 10 years later, he ends up, for some reason, being in the same place, in the same country, close to the village.
Right.
And he's like, you know what, let me go check it out, see what's happening. And he encounters Don Quixote, who thinks that Kylo Ren is Sancho, his slave or servant. And somehow Kylo Ren gets roped into an adventure with Don Quixote, where you start to see the lines between reality and madness blur for Kylo Ren. And the movie takes just moves from there. And I love that about this movie, right? It's a more, so I was talking about a watered down, the better way to say it is it's a more subtle version of Baron Munchausen. And I cannot wait to watch this 50 times more.
This sounds all right.
Yeah, but I mean, I know I'm doing a fairly good job of selling it, but it's a Terry G movie. Be careful. I don't want you to get...
Well, I'm going to be upset regardless. Because Terry G, if it is bad, Terry G would have wasted my time yet again. Keep falling into the same stupid trap.
But this movie, I love it to death.
It's so
And dark. Even, like, so I remember at first I was watching it and I'm like, yeah, this works. I like it. The more I think about it, the more I want to watch it again and again and again. It's, Damien, Terry G finally came back. I mean, it took him a while, clearly, to one, make this movie. And also to, two, make a good movie, because it's been a while since then as well. But I'm real happy, and I hope that now that he's got this in the books, in the bag, I hope that somebody gives him some money to do some crazy things again. Now, we also need to talk about some TV shows I've been watching. All right, so a couple of things. Gonna start with... Let's see, the one that I have the least to talk about, because I'm going to be sensitive to Damien's plight.
Ah.
Damien,
Hi.
I know you haven't watched Killing Eve.
Is it finished?
Exactly. I know you haven't watched it.
Is it finished?
It is not finished.
Is the playoffs on?
Yes.
Then no.
I know. I wasn't asking. I told you what you were not doing.
Of course
not. All right? But Andrew, you've been watching the show, right?
Which show?
Killing Eve.
No, I have not. I haven't watched it.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, my God.
Seriously, I've not watched any of it.
So, guys, I just want to let you know, and listeners, if you don't watch the show yet, stop what you're doing. It's perfect. So, guys, do you remember, the only thing I'm going to say about this is, do you remember how much we love Villeneuve, or whatever her name is?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And she... One of the things that we loved about her was how she just fucked with her handler.
Yes, nonstop.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the great thing about that relationship, it was just a one-way relationship, right? But put in your mind, think about something. What if? What if those people from Killing Eve decided you need a new handler? Somebody who knows how to fuck back.
Mm-hmm.
Like some serious fuckwithery. That's what we've got in season two.
Someone told me that Killing Eve was good last year. I don't remember who though.
I know, and we didn't listen to
him. I just came to this TV show just out of the blue. I don't remember what happened.
Damon, I'm so happy with this show so far. It's not even funny.
Here's what I know.
Uh-huh.
If I have to wait 1 week,
mm-hmm.
Killing Eve, I'm going to die. Okay.
All right. Now, Damon, I'm done with you.
Okay.
Andrew Robinson.
Yeah, because Andrew don't like Killing Eve.
Exactly. Andrew Robinson, you and I have a television show to talk about.
Uh-huh. It's called Truck.
Which show is this?
Years ago.
A certain man who invented jazz hands is now on television.
Apparently he's more into hats, but okay.
Fossifer. Andrew, as much as we thought that I could try and not like the show, of course I like the show. Sam Rockwell
is dancing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's all you need. Plus you have Michelle Williams. Come on. The show's great. What's your take, Andrew? I want to hear you talk about the show. Because I'll just talk about like actual things. You'll talk about like all sorts of science, magic science behind dancing.
Science.
That's magic science.
Yes.
Dance. I quite enjoy. I'm still on the fence. Like the thing is that I love all of the parts that are made for me. Yes. And you know what they are.
Yes.
Right? Like I think I watched
in the first episode.
Right? I watched the second episode and they do that bit with the mambo, the pain mambo,
yeah,
whatever
that
they
good.
Call it.
I like that.
Which I quite loved.
Yeah.
Right. But there's a part of me like as it's shifting through time and you see old Sam, right? And you see them having like relationship troubles and all sorts of things, and I'm like, I don't fully buy it.
So what you're saying is you don't like the crying bits.
Yeah, I don't like the crying bits. I like the smiling bits where they're dancing.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I still have gotten the first movie that you see in the first episode, Sweet Charity, because I've never seen that one.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to watching that sometime soon.
Yeah, I did have the same inkling when I saw that second, intro to the first show. I was like, yeah, I need to try and get on that. But we'll see. But yeah.
It's a 2.5-hour movie with Shirley MacLaine.
Mm-hmm.
So is it
sad?
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Is it sad that I didn't actually know that he directed Cabaret?
Yes, that's very sad.
I mean, I've watched Cabaret, obviously. You've made me force me to watch it.
I think I made you watch it.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't know it was him. What?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Candelabra. Never mind.
Yeah, no. He did not direct Candelabra.
Yeah, never mind.
So what was I going to say? I actually really like the crime bits. I like the dancing bits. And how I know I like this show, because in my mind, I'm not sure that I like it. But how I know that I actually do like this show is that immediately I have already searched and read various Wikipedia pages on Bob Fosse, his relationship with Verdon, Gwen Verdon, and what happens. And for me to be that interested in real life, must be that I really like this show.
But Douglas, how can you be interested in real people?
I don't
know. How is this allowed?
Because these guys are actually making it interesting. But the funny thing is, so before they even mentioned anything about this actress, clearly they know what they're doing. Because in the first, I'd say a couple of minutes of the first episode of this show, I said to myself, boy, does that Michelle Williams look like Shirley MacLaine. And then they immediately made a reference to be like, yo, why did they bring on this Shirley MacLaine bitch to be in your part instead of you? This is your part. You were in the musical. And I was like, yeah, that's great. That's good. Yes. Right? So they're catering to a broad audience. they've got dumb jokes as well. But yeah, it's obviously got an all-star cast and it's fun. So I like the show. Finally, something that I did not mean to watch. I only watched because it was on in the background. And I'm sad to say, I think has value. Did you guys know that Beyonce has a Netflix documentary thing?
I'd like to hear where this is going, because I've watched it, but I'd love to hear Douglas's take.
So, Damian, do you remember we watched a movie by the name of something like Master of Kung Fu?
Yes.
Master of Tai Chi, master of shitty non-action scenes.
Yeah, man.
This is that. There are moments, and thankfully they're long enough in this documentary that are awesome. Because you're just watching her Coachella performance, which is
dancing.
Fucking fantastic. Then there's talking.
Right.
So if you take out the talking bits,
right,
which, because this is Netflix, you can fast forward through. You have
about a half hour
spectacular choreography.
But it's wrapped in an hour of garbage.
Yeah. But to be fair, well, I did just stop paying attention when they were talking. So maybe the talking bits are longer than I remember.
Yes.
But I remember it was easy to tone out the talking. But I really, like, I didn't think I was going to enjoy it because I, listen, I get it. She can sing. A few of her songs are good. Probably more than I can admit.
More than a few.
Right? Exactly. More than I admit to.
Yeah.
But at least a few of her songs are good. And she knows how to put on a show. All of these things are facts.
Yes.
Right? So if you put on the screen those three things, no shit. So it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm actually, I kind of want to just now watch it properly here on the big screen. And be
on
like,
a real TV.
Exactly. And be like, what does that look like?
You know what your TV is missing?
What's that?
Speakers.
Yeah, I know. You know what my phone's missing?
Mm-hmm.
Messages from Damian about which speakers I should buy. So
you make a good point.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't like a couple of things about this. One, I don't like the talking bits.
Obviously.
Some of them are cool insights though, to be fair. Like there's a part where she's essentially saying to the whole team, guys, this is rubbish, we need to get better. But she does it in such a way that like it's actually really informative for how you should approach leadership in any scenario, which is great and interesting. I didn't
put
that
giving you leadership.
Exactly. I didn't put that on her, but yeah. The second thing is it lets you appreciate, and the Timberlake one did this to a certain extent, except it understood me more. And so they were like, all right, we'll give you like 2 minutes of what is behind this, and then the rest will be the concert, which is why I like that one so much too. But this also makes you appreciate what goes behind, what goes into the preparation
for this. The frightening amount of work that it takes to put on a show over that last 30 minutes.
Which is why when these people, when you hear about how much these people charge to do these things, if you know, you just think about it very quickly. You're like, yo, that's ridiculous. Yeah, that's, I really want to earn that much that amount of money. But then if you look at a documentary like this, and then you start to think about how many people had to spend 6 months to a year preparing, how many sound, she had three sound stages that I'm just assuming she had fully booked and rented out for her alone for like whatever 6 months or however long it was that it took to practice. And then you set up all of the pyrotechnics in there as well. And I'm sure there are all sorts of wasted pyrotechnics,
it's a nightmare.
And the dancers that you have to, even the dancers that you cut, you have to pay them for the time they were, you know, like You realize it's probably not that big.
It is why you go. Like every time I watch, it's the thing I constantly respect about the Super Bowl, that halftime show.
Yeah.
Because they put on a full concert. Set up and breakdown in what, 20 minutes?
Something like that.
It's like, this is impossible. Right? It is a miracle. And you know what? Things aren't on fire halfway. Like, that year when the lights went out and I assumed everyone on that production team handed in their their papers. Like, as the light was gone, they're just like, well, I'm never going to do this job again. But it's supposed to happen all the time. It's a miracle that it doesn't. Especially something as complex as her performance. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you're saying that there's too much talking in there.
There is too much talking.
That's not what I'm here for.
But Damian, there is a DC in there that's fucking spectacular.
A who?
A DC.
I don't have the time for that. Of sports.
Again, there's a fast forward button.
Right, but sports. Here's the thing. For the next 3 or so months, can't help it.
But yeah, no, I kind of secretly like this documentary just because of that. Yeah. So again, so I haven't finished watching it. So
you
I
like some of our songs. Yeah. You always like Beyonce. Oh, she's fine.
Actually, for a long time, I didn't like her because...
No, not her music.
Oh. Yeah, again, she's in the music industry. She's in the performance industry. Right. So she probably looked good, which is, again, another sad indictment of our fucking society.
Hey, Adele won all those awards. She did it. She did all on her voice.
Do you remember that half a minute when she caved and tried very hard to be thin?
Oh, yeah,
did. Yeah. Because why? Because we live in a shit... fire.
So what you're saying is no more music videos. Go back to radio how it was meant to be.
It's really sad, but whatever. MTV's fault. I mean, this documentary, I kind of low-key respect it. Andrew, what were you going to say? What are your thoughts on this movie, this show,
Andrew
whatever the hell?
Andrew loved fucking Lemonade.
He did, didn't
he? He loves it.
Even though I didn't like Lemonade.
Any excuse to spend time with Beyonce is a good enough excuse for Andrew Roberts.
Have I watched all of Lemonade? I'm not even sure.
You know how much I've seen of it? Only that parody that Titus Andromedon did.
I didn't even know that existed.
So, Kimmy Schmidt has...
I know who he is.
He did a rendition that almost got me to watch the actual one. It was so good.
Okay.
I miss Titus already. He is the best part of that. Far and away. It's not even close. But yes, Andrew, please tell me how much you kind of thought I liked this Beyonce documentary.
Even I'm though more
I think
with...
you may have reviewed it last week.
Oh, did he?
I think so.
No, I didn't.
He did tell us.
No, I didn't.
Did you tell us anything about this last week, Andrew?
No, I didn't. That was about Guava Island.
Oh,
thanks
oh,
for listening.
Oh, speaking of which, I have something else to talk about, so continue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I kind of just expected it to go on. Where was I? Right. I sort of agree with Douglas for the most part. There's too much talking and not enough performing.
Oh boy.
For this documentary, but when the performance is there, oh, it's wonderful. But the thing I was going to say to Douglas, he was talking about like getting an insight into the making of this production. The thing that shocks me the most, and I've looked this up, that performance that took her 8 months or whatever to create for Coachella, she didn't tour that performance. She did that for Coachella, and that's it.
Oh, wow.
So it's not even like what you imagine a lot of artists do, where like they spend months preparing and then go on tour for like a year.
Right.
This was just Coachella.
And that was two nights, essentially.
Right. So Beyonce was just like, I'm that baller.
Yeah.
Or Coachella was just like, here's all the money that we have.
Also, I did see recently that with this coming out, people announced that she actually has a 3-movie contract with Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that.
So expect more.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know what was my favorite moment of that movie? It was a performance moment, obviously. Mm-hmm. It was when she brought Jay-Z out to mm-hmm. perform, and you realized the difference in how mm-hmm. performance works between her and him.
Yeah.
She is like, I'll do all of this and right. it'll be great and whatever.
She's like a gymnast.
He just literally walks out and is like, I'm going to speak the things that I say over. And then run away. And if you want dancing, no, I'll walk from one side of the stage right. to the next. And I love that essentially she knew this.
Yeah.
And you can see it in her face. She kind of smiles and looks at him and it's almost like, yeah, I love you, but this is rubbish.
I mean, in fairness, if Jay-Z started dancing, we'd lose all respect for him.
Yeah, he'd lose all his street cred.
Right.
But Andrew, you mentioned Guava Island.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that I watched that movie this week.
Is that Trinidad's nickname?
So, you talk about Trinidad.
Right.
Let's get into that.
Uh-huh.
Because one of the most confounding things... Have you watched this yet? Okay, very good. What? Very good, very good. So, one of the most confounding things about this movie is just that. The accents. Oh, it's so good.
Delicious.
So,
cartoonish.
Guava Island is an island, obviously.
Uh-huh.
It says so in the name.
Okay.
It is populated by a country where everybody has an... What has been accepted, commonly accepted in American movies mm-hmm. as an African accent.
Oh.
Right?
Oh my.
Except for our two lead actors.
Mm-hmm.
One being Beyonce. Oh, no, Beyonce. Not sorry. Almost. Sorry. Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
Who kind of flips, just really sounds like what she sounds like mm-hmm. in normal life, which right. is like she, every once in a while, you'll hear the Bajan in her, but right. she more has now an Americanish yeah, sounding accent. Yeah, she's
been there for 20 yeah. years.
And then there is my boy
Gambino.
Yeah. Him don't have a real name anymore.
Yeah.
He's childish.
Gambi.
His name is Troy.
There you go. Donde está la biblioteca? Yeah. And actually, if he said that, it would be more realistic than what he actually mm-hmm. does. His accent is so weird.
Yes.
Because it's almost what he actually sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
But you can hear that he's actually trying not to sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is like a tinge of something in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even of air quotes Africa,
right?
Right? It is probably more islandy.
Right. It's a tinge of shitty accent.
Yeah, it's just a tinge of shitty accent. And,
terrible accent work.
And it's awesome. Oh, I forgot. There is actually a fourth accent.
Uh-huh.
There is the guy that runs the island. Who is, we know him. He's one of these actors that shows up from time to time, big fat guy. I can't remember. I think he's British, but I'm not 100% sure. But he has an accent that sounds very islandy, actually quite close to Jamaica.
Right.
Right? So you have just this melange of shittiness.
Awful accent.
To just start with. Right? And so... Damien, the jokes abound.
Mm-hmm. Do they know that the accents are terrible?
No, they do not.
Oh, that's great.
Oh.
That sounds right.
It's marvelous.
People leaning into it is secretly the thing I miss most about Littlefinger on Game of Thrones. Just every season he'd come on with a brand spanking new terrible accent. It's like, this is what I'm here for.
Yup. But so okay, let's get past it.
Right.
Right?
How's the music video?
Yeah, so as Andrew says, it really is just a music video. Mm-hmm. It is
with Rihanna.
Yeah, they have a little bit of talking just to kind of try to stitch together something that they claim is a story.
Mm-hmm.
It is you know, dumb. You can see exactly what it's going to be from minute one, which is fine.
Is any other
because
music good?
That's not what you're watching it for. I actually did not mind this movie at all. Okay. The music is actually great. This is how good this is. Uh-huh. They have that America song in there. Mm-hmm. I like that song.
I told you, the video helps.
Like, I fucking hated it when I heard it alone.
No, right, when you hear it by itself, I told you this.
Damian.
If you listen to that song by itself, it's just a terrible song.
I wonder if he's actually a good performer, because when he's around there doing all this dancing bullshit and he has some facial expressions where the jokes come back. It's crazy. I love it. I want to now listen to the full song again to be like, did I make a mistake?
Don't listen to it without the video. I'm telling you. It doesn't make sense and it's a bad song without the visuals is what make that song.
Yeah.
It is really scary because I don't want to watch music videos ever again because I am here for the music. That song reminded me that
music videos have a place.
You remember that Busta Rhymes Janet Jackson song?
Yeah, I do remember that.
You remember how terrible that song is when you listen to it? But that video was so fucking expensive and ridiculous. It's like, this song is amazing.
It's like the Ice Princess and the Ice Castle. You're right. Some shit like that.
It reminded me of that time. You're just like, this is not okay. I don't want to go back to this.
Yeah, but I rather like that movie because of the soundtrack, obviously, and just how he puts it together. I'd probably watch it again. Again, the movie was so good, I immediately searched for new music from him. Yeah. And found that there is an EP with one of the songs in the movie on it, which I might get. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try and figure out if there's a proper album coming out. Because I remember him saying that he's soon finish, right. Essentially.
So, like, July is the time that I'll get to watch it.
Yeah.
Because
I remember reading July, or was it before, Andrew that said that this movie may go away? Andrew, was it you that said that?
I wasn't sure because of how they announced it when it went on Prime. Like, it sounded like, ooh, we might pull this down in a week. Mm-hmm. But you know, I guess it's still there, so maybe I just read too much words.
And to be fair, Damian can't find it.
Here's the fun part about the internet. Nothing. But people have tried taking things off of the internet. Ask them how that goes. You know that that Tom Cruise movie when he was The Mummy.
Yeah.
If you want, you can still watch that movie without any other special effects in there.
I forgot about that. You know which other movie did that too? You remember Wolverine did that as well?
Yes. They've tried taking it though. It ain't happening. So, yeah. And that's it? Is it for you?
I think it is. I'm sure there are more things. You can tell, by the way, that even though it wasn't a proper vacation, that I had some time.
You got a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of movie work.
Yeah.
Got it, dude. Andrew Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Regale us with your tales of movie watching.
I don't have much to talk about. I was going to talk about the Beyonce documentary, but Douglas kind of took that up. I watched an old Tom Segura special. Normal.
Mm-hmm. Still a monster.
Which I enjoyed.
Anthony Jeselnik has a new special coming out. Can't wait.
It's not out yet. I was upset because I like searched Netflix because I knew it was coming. And I saw it there and I put it in my mind. I'm like, oh, it's there. And then I sat down a couple days later to watch it. And then they're like, play trailer. And I'm like, I don't want to watch a trailer. I want to watch the thing.
Saw a clip from it about an old man and Alzheimer's and went, finally,
so
a joke I didn't hear already. I can't wait to watch this. Cannot wait.
The only thing I've really watched this week to talk about that we haven't mentioned is I watched the new Netflix film, Someone Great.
Why are you still watching Netflix movies?
Look. The trailer looked fun.
Is this Netflix? Is this the one with Lakeith Stanfield?
Yes, and Gina Rodriguez. Gina Rodriguez, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It looked fun from the trailer. And you want to know the truth? The movie is mostly fun because it's really about these three girls being friends and they play off each other so well.
I don't believe you. Sorry.
Yes.
Listen, we gave you Roma as the exception. We accept that Roma is a good movie. I get it.
Who is this we that you're talking about?
Again, the royal we.
the podcast we.
But it is that exception that proves the rule. These movies, they're bad, yo. Here's, my mother watched Triple Frontier.
Who?
And asked me to cancel Netflix. She's just like, I'm done. I've watched all the Netflix I need to see. Because she saw me watching Santa Clarita and she told me then, you need to cancel it. This is what you're watching. Because she likes, I only know him as Raylan Givens now. I don't remember his actual name. Oliphant.
T-Dot.
She saw him and she's just like, Damian, I know we love Justified, but you need to stop doing this. And I said, I can't help myself. It's so bad. She's like, Damon, you haven't... She said the thing that I said to Andrew all the time. There's no jokes. She said, you haven't laughed once. Clearly, this is bad. And she said, you know what you should do? You should cancel Netflix. And for her to say, a couple weeks later, to just come to me and go, I watched... she said she watched... she said she watched The Idiot Guy, him have some new movie on Netflix. And with The Idiot Guy, it's like The Idiot in Gone Girl. And I went, oh, I forgot that is how she thinks of him. Like The Idiot from Gone Girl. Okay. Like,
that movie was awesome. And
she said, what's it called? I said, Triple Frontier. She's like, yeah, that. Cancel Netflix. So, boy. That Triple Frontier movie must have been great.
Yep.
I've heard so many people say such good things about it.
It's sad that they've been able to actually draw star power now.
Yeah.
Right? And it still doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
My last hope for them was Hold the Dark.
I didn't mind that movie, to be fair.
Yeah,
it was not the greatest, but it was decent. It was good.
Don't. Listen, Song you me. Liking all the people in there does not a good movie make. A movie sucks, Douglas.
That's harsh.
Douglas, all right, is it good? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What was good about it? The people.
The higher I go on the register,
yeah, the better the movie.
The more convincing I get, right? That's good. That's really, really good.
Andrew, I don't believe
you. I agree with you.
All of that to say this, I think you're
so
lying.
Damian, what have you been watching?
Oh, no, listen, there's a reason I've been asking you people because there's nothing here. It is Game of Thrones.
I demanded one thing.
Yeah, you demanded House. I get it. But it's the first run of there's like 8 hours of playoff basketball at night.
I tell you, the basketball thing is ridiculous.
But it's
every
year.
Day, every night
it's
I come
8 hours.
And I've gotten into the habit now of just checking YouTube TV to see what's on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like five games back to back.
Basketball.
I'm like, what the fuck, guys?
Yeah. Like between football and basketball. Like, here, we had 4 days this week because I live in a real country that appreciates holidays. So we got Friday off and we got Monday off.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, I watched 32 hours of basketball. The rest of the time was spent eating, sleeping, watching football, and sleeping. That is it.
I played Division with you. Nothing happened. Andrew, I simply don't have the time. But the first round of the basketball ends this week-ish. So there'll be no more than two games a night going forward. So I'll have time. Andrew, please believe I really, really want to watch this movie because it looks capital C crazy. I can't wait. There's also, as I said, I want to watch High Life, I want to watch that, and I want to watch Laurel. Those are the movies that I'm dying to watch. The only movie that is just the movie that we review. And yeah, like,
or who kills
I her. Want, yeah. Listen, me and TG, even though he's done me dirty at many times, I'm going to continue watching his movies because I do a podcast with Douglas and he won't allow me to not. Even though I thought we formed a bond over Lars von Trier, but he still continues to not watch good movies.
I watch Mandalay. Come on. Whatever. Come on.
Whatever. But yeah, it's just like, if you want to talk basketball, I'm glad your girlfriend is happy for the Knicks. No, they'll probably win this second series too. They're probably going to beat the 76ers, the Raptors. They might not though, which I don't know how I feel about that. But the second round will be really interesting. These first round matches, by and large, have been
terrible. Yeah, it's been just annoying teams to watch matches like this where they're just outmatched.
Just, right? This is the only good series, the San Antonio Denver. Mm-hmm. Most other series have just been people getting absolutely. One out for dead presidents to represent me. Whose world is this? The world is yours. The world is yours. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this? The world is yours. The world is yours. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this? It's yours. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Whose world is this? The world is yours. The world is yours. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. To my man Ill Will, God bless your life. To my peoples throughout Queens, God bless your life. I trick we box some crazy bitches, aiming guns and all my baby pictures. Beef with housing police, release scriptures, that's maybe Hitler's. Yet I'm the mal, money getting stabbed, rolling foul. The versatile honey, sticking wild, golden child, dwelling in the rotten apple. You get tackled, a caught by the devil's lasso. Shit is a hassle. There's no days for broke days. We sell a smoke pays while all the old folks pray. To Jesus soaking they sins in trays. A holy water, odds against nods and slaughter. Finger the word best describing my life. To name my daughter my strength. My son the star will be my resurrection. Born in correction, all the wrong shit I did.